We are so blessed. Amen. Amen. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Anybody want to give a praise for it? Something you want to give a blessing on? I'm waiting on it. Love to hear it. Let me hear it. Shout it out. Count it.
Sunshine.
Got a little sunshine. It was chilly this morning. Amen. Good chilly morning. I get like an old dog on a frost, man. I get excited on a chilly morning. I sure do. I like them. Anybody?
Blessed to see another day.
Blessed to walk with the King. Blessed for the opportunities that He brings. Amen. Can't help but think about that little crippled man that was healed there at the temple. He couldn't help but praise, leap, shout, jump, run. He'd done been set free. Amen. Man, he was near my age. Been brought to the temple every day, laid out to ask folks to pity him and show him mercy. But old God got a hold of him. Amen. Touched him. All right, Acts chapter number 1. Go to the book of Acts. We are up to chapter 3 in our daily reading. I'll share with you as you are turning there. I've got a great report this past week with the doctor. The Lord has just continues to manifest His favor through it. We're committed. I'm committed. I'm going to praise Him no matter what. No matter what comes. No matter good, bad, what it may be. But the doctor's words were that the numbers were remarkable and what had taken place within a short period of time, within a week's time of the chemo. You know, my numbers went from like 300 something thousand with the white blood count down to 50. And that's lower than what it was when they found it. So he was really taken. He said it's such a dramatic drop. Wasn't anticipating that. And all my other stuff, my red count, my platelets, my hemoglobin, and all those other things that I don't know a whole lot about, were all within perfect to normal range. So we give Him glory on that, praise Him for it all, and thank Him for what He is using to do it. Hadn't had any side effects either. So that's the other side. That's the other blessing in that. So my body's received it well is the whole point. That it's worked. And so they'll keep a close eye on everything, Lord willing, that the Lord will continue to give them wisdom to be able to help me do what I need to do. I go back on February 3rd, and my pretty bride has booked her ticket to get back home. Praise God. It's been booked for February 1st, so in 2 weeks she'll be flying back over here. I'm glad she's there. That was the whole point of her being able to help and be with Lauren, and it's working out really great. Things are going really good. Baby is doing tremendous. Lauren's doing tremendous. She's taking the motherhood like a duck to water and doing really well. And the baby's not having any kind of complications or troubles or anything like that. So it's going really good. The only problem is I ain't been able to hold him yet. Amen. I said, I'm going to be able to throw that boy and catch him in the air by the time I see him. And he'd be done half grown. But I'm anticipating that day already. But they're keeping me posted. Appreciate everybody helping out and everybody willing to do and take and pick up and going above and beyond and dropping me off some good eats and that kind of thing. It's all been mighty, mighty kind and mighty gracious. And appreciate that so much. And blesses me to know that y'all are just willing, making yourself available to do whatever God brings in from day to day. And what a joy it is to serve the King. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And every one of us are in different places at different seasons and different times and going through different things and having different challenges. But one thing is going to be common among us all. It's not that we'll have the common results in every situation, but the common comfort that's going to come from the presence and the revelation that God speaks into us from day to day of just walking with Him. Amen?
Amen.
Timing. I think about that guy. You think about that fella. How many times in a 3-year period that Jesus walked by him. Didn't acknowledge him. Didn't touch him. Didn't heal him. Timing. Peter walks by him one day, and it was time. The time was right.
Amen.
To authenticate the message of the gospel to those in that temple that day. But yeah, it's a timing thing. We just want to be found faithful where we are.
Amen.
Let God be glorified in where He has us, and just trust that He's at work. Amen.
Amen.
And He's at work doing something in and through and with us, even when it may not appear nor look like that, because He's given us so many wonderful, faithful promises of just how trustworthy He is, that even the difficult things turn out to be a delivering tool, not only in our life but in the lives of others, that what seems like is not a blessing is actually a blessing in the hand of Jesus. Amen. What seems like is something contrary to that. I mean, the cross was one of those things that would have seemed contrary to a win. That looked like a failure. I mean, even His disciples thought it was a failure. We've seen that in Luke, how they were all downcast and walking away defeated. It appeared to them that that was not a victory. But we know the result. Amen. We know what God was doing and how He worked in that. So we just want to walk with Him. And what we have in the book of Acts, we're just going to kind of do a brief little introduction to the first part of it, really the heart of the whole book. And it starts off in the first few verses here in chapter number 1, where he says, "The former account that I made, O Theophilus." What former account is he referring to? What is Luke, this physician, when he says the former record, the former account, the former thing that I wrote about, O Theophilus, what is he speaking of there? He's talking about the Gospel of Luke that he wrote. And he's going to explain that to us. Now, who is Theophilus? Anybody have an idea? We really don't know exactly who Theophilus is. We believe that when Luke wrote to him in the Gospel of Luke, he called him most excellent, the excellent Theophilus, which was usually a term, even in the Scriptures, used only for somebody that held a particular high office. Paul would refer to people like Agrippa and different ones as, "O excellent one," because of their office that they occupied in respect to that. So when Luke wrote this account of the gospel to him in Luke 1, he says that, "O excellent Theophilus." He doesn't bring it up here in Acts. So we're thinking that there's a good possibility that Theophilus was more than likely some kind of Roman official. And there's a good, we don't know. These are all assumptions, because the only two times we find him is in Luke 1 and in Acts 1 that Luke is writing back to him. How many times have we been through Acts thus far? Over the last 11 years. Anybody want to give a shot at it? I ain't got a clue. But it's been, I'd imagine, probably 7 times or more that we've walked through Acts, as far as just chapter by chapter, verse by verse, of reading through the book of Acts. And we know that in chapter 16 is when Luke joined Paul on the journey. Now, he's given a narrative report of the whole work here, but he didn't actually join in with Paul until chapter number 16. We'll find where he starts using these personal pronouns of, "We went from here and we went from there," instead of saying, "They went and they did this and they did that." All of a sudden, Luke starts saying, "I'm with them now. I'm walking with them." Could it be that whoever this is, Luke, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, because we know he was inspired by God to write this, as he writes this record and sends it back to, it was obviously somebody that he wanted them to know, about Jesus and what Jesus was doing and how He was working and what He's done. Also, could it be that this guy is somebody that may have been an official that Luke may have worked for, that gave Luke leave and liberty under the influence of God's power to go with Paul and them and said, "This is what I want you to do for me. When you go, I want you to tell me all you find out, all that you know, all that you glean. I want you to let me know about this Jesus who's not only done a work in you, but it's done a work in me. I want to know Him. And would you just send me some information? Send me everything you learn about Him." So Luke, this physician, this historian, takes this information that he gets and gleans as God leads him. I think Luke, just like the other writers, didn't realize at the time that they were actually writing what we know of as Scripture today. It's just writing what he's come to find, what he's come to learn, what he's come to know. And he's sending this record back to him to let him know of what he knows about this Jesus. And that's really the heartbeat of the disciple. The disciple wants to know Him, and the disciple wants to make Him known. That's the heart. That's the heart of walking with Jesus. Knowing Him more intimately and personally and deeply. And the more we know of Him, we must all admit, you can't help this, it's just inevitable. The more you know of God, the more you know of Jesus, the more you like. The more you like, the more you love. The more you love of Him. And the more you love and know of Him, the more you enjoy and like telling others what you know and have learned about Him. Why? That's the heartbeat. You want to make Him known. You want to make Him, in a word that is used today, you want to make Him famous. You want to make His memory, His remembrance, you want to make it known.
Amen.
You want to tell everybody. Amen?
Come on.
And I think there's some possibilities in that. No matter how you look at it, this was the heartbeat of what this physician and historian was doing. Physicians in those days were not like physicians in our day. Most physicians worked for somebody. They wasn't independent like we go and go see a physician and they take care of us and they tell us what they find. Most physicians only worked with those who were officials, those who had money, those who could afford them, and they would work for them. And it's a good chance this guy worked for Luke, worked for him, and he's just doing what the man asked him to do in response to what he's learned. And Luke just does it with great delight and joy of chronicling these things. And now we have a record of it, and we find in this where he says that. He says, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began." When you see that word "began," you can circle it because that's telling us that He ain't done. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all know Jesus ain't done?
Come on.
Y'all say it with me. Jesus
ain't done.
Ain't done. He's still working today. Amen? Amen. What He began to do. He began both to do and teach. So He's still doing and He's still teaching today.
Amen.
This is what He is carrying over. How many of y'all watch series like on Netflix or Amazon, or you ever seen a movie and you knew at that movie at the end of it they had these things that come across there? You knew they wasn't finished with the story yet. And it would have, y'all remember when you was a kid and used to watch things and it would have on there "to be"? And you had to wait a whole week or a whole month for it to come out again. You're like, "Oh man, I don't want to wait a whole week. I don't want to wait a whole month." It says "to be continued." Now in our modern day, when they put out something, you can watch them all in one day. Y'all ever done that where you watched a series and there was 40 shows you watched in one day? Y'all ever done that? And you've done it several times. Well, this is a "to be continued." Luke's gospel had a "to be continued" to it. And this is what Acts is. He's continuing the storyline of what Jesus began to both do and teach. The book of Acts and the book of Luke go hand in hand. And I want to tell you, Acts, even though it ends at chapter number 28, we can say today we're living out Acts 29. Because Jesus is still what? Doing and teaching. Who is He doing and teaching through? The body of Christ, the church. Exactly what He did in that day. So think about it like this. Luke's gospel is revealing to us that Jesus came and tabernacled among us. That is, He took upon flesh, He walked among us on this earth. He lived among those men, He shepherded them while they walked upon this earth, and that is what the unveiling of Luke's gospel is showing. His purpose, His message, His life, what He accomplished, what He did. And then Acts word for the church is not Him living among us or tabernacle among us. It's the introduction that He is actually now living within us.
Amen.
We are the physical body of Christ upon the earth now. Luke, the Gospels tell us He was with us. And He was with us because He's for us. But when the Spirit of God fell upon the body of Christ, the church, He came, Brandy, to live within. You remember those times when He was telling them in the Gospels, like John's Gospel, He says, My Father and I are going to come make our home in you. We're going to come live. You know the Spirit. He's been among you. He's been with you, but He's going to be in you. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, when He came, that is the what Jesus is continuing to do on this earth in His body by the Spirit of God, and that is He lives within us now. And when we trust Him, when we give our life to Him, what happens is God immerses us, He submerges us in the body of Christ. This is a supernatural work of God that we don't necessarily see take place. This is something that God does. But He immerses, baptizes us into His body, and then He pours out His Spirit within us that He takes up residence within our lives. And that's why He tells them that you cannot do what you're going to do for me without the Spirit of God. You have to have the Spirit of God. The Son of God needs to be alive to you and in you. The Scriptures need to be alive to you and in you. But the Spirit of God must be alive in you and to you to be the servant of God, the witness that you are called to be. Because if God ain't doing it, it ain't getting done for the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to have the Spirit of God. That's why the Bible tells us we're to walk in the Spirit. The Scriptures teach us we are to worship in the Spirit. The Scriptures teach us we are to wage warfare in the Spirit. And the Scriptures teach us we're to witness in the Spirit. So we're to walk, we're to worship, we're to war, and we are to witness in the Spirit. That's saying that the Spirit of God needs to have full influence and control of our lives.
Amen.
To walk, worship, war, and witness to the glory of God.
Amen.
And we as disciples of Jesus, we've been called to walk with God. We've been called to war with God. We've been called to worship Him in spirit and truth, and we've been called to be His witness, to exist as His witness. And we need the Spirit of God for that to take place. So what He began when He was with them, He is now doing in them. And this is this introduction to what Acts is really teaching us all about. So let's just read a little bit further. It says in verse number 2, until the day which He was taken up, after He, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles for whom He had chosen, to whom He also presented Himself alive after His suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus did for those 40 days. What was the significance of these 40 days and then this 50th day that is coming that we read about in chapter number 2? All these things give us an image here. For an example, on what day if you took the Old Testament, God gave a few feasts to the people of God, starting back in Exodus. Remember when they was coming out of Egypt? God established something called the Passover. Remember the Passover? What was they supposed to do that day with the Passover? They were to take a lamb, they were to slice that lamb's throat, sacrifice it, they were to eat the lamb, and they were to take the blood of that lamb and they were to put it on their doorpost at their house. And then God would send an angel. When that angel came through that night, what was to be a blessing to Israel was a curse to Egypt. What was to be a blessing to one was a curse to the other. When God didn't find blood upon the door, whatever house he didn't find the blood, what would happen? The firstborn in that house would die. That was the curse. Now, Egypt was not aware of that. Only the Israelites were aware of what was going on. They heeded Moses. They trusted what he said. They sacrificed the lamb. They put the blood on the door. The angel came through, and in every household in all the land that no blood was found, the firstborn died, and there was a great outcry in Israel during that time. And God says, I'm going to show you just how significant this is, that not even one dog is going to open its mouth in all Israel with all that crying going on. And you know how dogs are. You get some wailing going on, old dog is going to get carried away. He says, I'm going to show you my presence in all this. I'm going to stay the mouth of the dogs, and not one dog is going to howl in all Israel because of my favor and blessings upon you. That was the Passover. That Passover was established then from there on out. Now, what did that Passover? It was a shadow of something that was to come later. What was the shadow of the come later? That is our Passover lamb. Who is who?
Jesus.
Jesus is our Passover lamb. That's right. He is. Now, what happened the day after Passover, Brandon, was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that they were to get out of their house all the leaven that was in the house, that leaven, because it was going to be a quick escape out of Egypt, getting rid of all that, just like Jesus, when He's our Passover lamb. He is the unleavened one who is without sin, without any mark upon Him. And then we go into the next feast that God gives, and that is the Feast of First Fruits. The Feast of First Fruits. What is the Feast of First Fruits? The Feast of First Fruits God established that when they harvested their first grain, they were to bring a sheaf offering and wave it before the Lord. And that would begin on the first day of the week after the Sabbath of the unleavened bread, which was the day that Jesus rose from the grave. Amen. And He is the first fruits. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. You see, all these things pointed to who? Jesus, our Passover, the unleavened bread, the Feast of First Fruits, and then 50 days after that, He said, count 7 weeks and a day, 7 Sabbaths and a day on the first day of the week. You'll come to the day of, or the Feast of Weeks. And it's called the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Pentecost because the word Pentecost means 50. The Feast of Weeks. And that leads us to a particular time. That's why in chapter 2, the Scripture says when Pentecost had fully come. See, it was all pointing to what? A picture. What did they do at the Feast of Weeks? They would come and bring 2 loaves of bread. And those bread had leaven in it because they had baked them and brought them and presented them to the Lord. But it was an offering they gave of what was yet to come, that the harvest was to come. They've done given the first fruits. 50 days into that, they brought an offering of what was still yet to come. The harvest hadn't been completed. The harvest was going to last. It was going to go for a while. The harvest ended with the Feast of Ingatherings or the Tabernacle when they would bring all the offerings in and they would store them up in their barns and keep what God had gave them. But this was saying that we're expecting more. God, You have blessed us. The Feast of Weeks or Pentecost is saying, you have blessed us. We return back to you this gift that we give to you of your goodness toward us. And we believe you got more for us to come. You're not done blessing us in the harvest.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, when God poured out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, it was that picture of saying that there's a sure harvest to come. There's a sure harvest. The wheat is going to be gathered together. The wheat is going to be gathered. There's a harvest to come. And that harvest is going to come when God gives His Spirit upon His people to go out as the physical body of Jesus upon this earth and proclaim His name to all the world. And God's going to bring the harvest in.
Amen.
Through these witnesses that belong to Him.
Come on.
And what we see from there is what we find in verse number 8 of chapter number 1 when he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you to influence you, to take control of you, so that you can walk and worship and war and witness, so that you can be my witnesses to me where? In Jerusalem? And then where? In all Judea and where? And then to the ends of? Okay, so let's look at the outline of the book of Acts. Chapter 2. What does Peter do? Filled with the Spirit, he stands up and he preaches Jesus. What happens? People gladheartedly receive the Word of God. A harvest starts coming in. Peter and the apostles and the rest of them and the disciples continue to grow and do what God had set them apart to do. And then we get to Stephen in chapter number 7. What happened to Stephen? He preached, and as a result, they didn't like what he said. What did they do to him? He saw Jesus, didn't he? They started persecuting him. Chapter 8. What did the disciples do? They started spreading out. And they started going into Judea and Samaria. Philip goes down to Samaria and a revival starts breaking out.
Amen.
And then all of a sudden you get into chapter number 10 and you find Peter getting a word from God to go to Cornelius' house. And the door of God opens up to the rest of the world, us Gentiles.
Amen.
You know, those two loaves of bread, you got Israel, and you got the Gentiles that are presented to the harvest that's coming. And it's got leaven in it. Why? Because we all, how many of y'all are in here can say you ain't got no sin in your walk or your life in any kind of way? Nobody. Amen. But our salvation ain't dependent on our sin or what we've done or not done. It's dependent on our Passover lamb. Amen. Who is without sin, who is the first fruits of the resurrection. We're just part of the harvest of His work and what He's doing. But what happens? He goes to Cornelius's. And then it starts spreading out from there. And then from their own gate, it's going to what? The utter ends of the earth. It's getting to Rome. And that's where we get to Rome at the close of the book. But you know what? Even though the book ends, the work is still being done.
Amen.
The work is still being done. It's still being done in those that belong to Him. Amen. To us. With us. With us. Yes, He was with them, but now He's in them. And the difference in these men's lives that walked with Jesus and now that Jesus is living and empowering them in their life, the difference in how they communicate, the difference in how they preach, the difference in how they share, the difference in their love, the difference in their walk, is night and day compared to when they heard that He wasn't in the tomb anymore. And when they realized He was alive and they got excited about it and they realized that everything in the Word of God was pointing to Him. And then God pours out His Spirit upon them, not just upon them, but in them. He said it like this. Jesus told them, and remember, we just closed up in Luke's Gospel. He said, wait or tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from where?
All right.
on high. The word endued means to be clothed. It means to be, to sink into a garment, to sink into something, to be clothed in it, covered in it. Imagine if you were training out at the Navy base to be a pilot for the Navy. And once the Navy had you all trained and they said, okay, we're going to send you off to battle in Afghanistan, but you got to provide your own F-16 or F-18, and you got to provide your own jet. Would that make any sense? When I went into the Navy, and many some of you have been in the service, when I went in, one of the first things they did when we checked in, Rusty, they took us to processing. You remember that, Mr. Billy? Did you have to go to processing? And when you go to processing, you check in a new place, you don't know what's going on. You ain't ever been there before. You're around strange people. You have no idea what's happening with you. And they start putting you through these lines, and you walking through these lines, and they start giving you clothes, and they start giving you garments, and they start giving you this, and you got to keep up with all this. And then they give you pens so that you got to label all this. And then they tell you you can't wear none of it until it's been washed. That would, in ours, they said, if it ain't been washed, it's considered unclean. So you had to make sure it then went through the wash, but you had to have everything labeled, everything folded. But before you did anything, they gave you or equipped you with what you needed to be identified as a sailor on that base. Now, if you was just walking out in street clothes like this, they wouldn't know who you were from Adam's house cat. But when you walked out as a representation of a sailor, and you walked with your new shoes that you was wearing that had to be polished, your new boots, you had your dungarees on, you had your shirt on, you had everything properly labeled, and I was there up at Great Lakes, Illinois during the winter time. I went in November, and it's cold up there, north of Chicago. So cold at times that it got down, if I remember correctly, some like 35 degrees below zero. We happen to be on galley duty. They shut the base down because it's so cold, but you still got to eat. So you still got to march to the galley, and you still got to do what you got to do. But you know what they furnished us with? They furnished us with coats. They furnished us with toboggans. They furnished us with gloves. I didn't have to go to the store. I didn't have to go buy the first thing. You know what they did? They equipped me and enabled me what I needed to do the job they were asking me to do. When I went to law enforcement academy and I checked in at the Navy base, I was prepared and certified in everything I had to do, but then I had to go through an indoctrination here before they would put a firearm in my hand and before they would do this, but I didn't have to go out and buy a pistol. They furnished that to me. I didn't have to go buy ammunition. They gave that to me. And I want to tell you, that's the same idea of being clothed with the Spirit of God to do the work that God has assigned us to do. He doesn't expect you to do it without clothing you with what you need.
Amen.
He gives you what you need. Kate, you clothe those girls of yours with uniforms? So when they step out there, they don't just look like a bunch of heathens just come out of the cow pasture playing a little summer league softball that don't have a uniform. They represent who? Clarkdale, Lauderdale County, Coach Neely. And you want them to look nice. You want them to have their garments on. If they don't have a glove, you get them a glove. They got bats. They got balls. See, you give them what they need to do what you've asked them to do. And that's what Jesus was saying. Tarry until I give you what you need. You need it, but I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to pour it out on you. There won't ever be a repeat of Pentecost, just like there won't ever be a repeat of Passover. Just like there won't ever need to be another resurrection of Jesus. Jesus died once, amen?
Come on.
Jesus was resurrected once, and the Spirit was poured out at Passover, at Pentecost, one time. One time. to empower and clothe His witnesses with what they needed to represent Jesus upon this earth. Now, when the Bible says when we trust Jesus, when we put faith in Him, He then now gives us Himself. He gives us the Spirit of God. And out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water, according to John chapter 7. He gives us the Spirit to go forth and do what He's called us to do. But I tell you, we can't do it without Him. Amen. He's got to clothe us, Brandy. He's got to empower us. We just want to be found in the position of waiting, worshiping, and wanting others to know what we know about Him. Amen.
Amen.
Wanting others to know what we know about Him. Father, we thank You today that we can trust that Your timing is always perfect. We see it in every dynamic of Jesus' life. We see it in the dynamic of the disciples' life. We see it in these feasts. We see it at this crippled man's life that was healed. We see it in our walk. You have promised that You will enable, that You will empower, that You will give us what we need when we need it. The testimony of Peter seeing it as Jesus meant it to be. You told him in advance that they would be persecuted by the elders and the leaders. And they did that. We see it happen right now as we read through. And that they were not to try to defend themselves and get out of the trouble, but that You would give them a mouthpiece to speak on Your behalf as a testimony, as a witness. And oh glory, how the gospel transformed and changed lives.
Amen.
So God, I pray that in this place today that we would find ourselves walking in Your Spirit, worshiping in Your Spirit today, that we would war for one another and with one another for the work that You've given us to do. We'd be Your witnesses right here in Briggs Chapel, throughout Kemper County, Sumter County, Lauderdale County, Mississippi, Alabama, and Tennessee and Louisiana and throughout this country and around the world. I rejoice with Blake. Pray over him as he goes to the ends of the earth. You tell us to go. And while we go, make disciples. You tell us to do it until the end of the world, until there are no more people. So we pray over Blake today as he's making preps to go to a foreign world. But we live in a foreign world as we pass it through this world on our way to You. We just want to be found in the shadow of Your wing, resting in Your favor and mercy, able to celebrate and rejoice and leap and sing. We may have not been crippled in our feet or in our hands, but our heart was sure crippled before You. Our mind was twisted and mangled and all messed up, but You come spoke light and life into us. And we can't help but celebrate and rejoice for what You've done. Help us this day be those witnesses. We praise You and thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight we're going to look at, we'll look at some of the Older Testament imagery around how, when the Spirit fell upon them, how the Scripture says, there was no wind, They didn't feel a wind. It said that it sounded like wind. And there were divided or flickering tongues, flames of fire upon them. And we're going to look in the Old Testament and see how some of this imagery paints the picture of what God was establishing and showing, is that His presence is not in a temple, but His presence was now going to abide within His people. The people, we are the temple of the living God.
Amen.
And that's the clear picture that we see, that God's coming in and taking up residence within His people. Very similar, if you remember, when the children of Israel journeyed. Scripture says during the day there was a pillar, a cloud of smoke, a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And when they established the tabernacle, that cloud that appeared over the tent of meeting where they were to gather, it was a cloud of fire over it. Because that's where God's presence was going to be, where He was going to put His name. And I want to tell you, God's put His name upon His church, upon His people. And that's where His presence abides. And that's what He was unveiling to them, that I'm taking up residence in my people. I'm a tabernacle in this earth in my people now. We are a spiritual house being built up. We are the temple of the living God. Amen? Who's been called to be those witnesses to His glory. So we'll look at some of those, and I think that it'd be interesting to you as we go through and look at those tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank You again today that we can lift up holy hands to You. With no animosity, without anxiety, of just entrusting ourselves to You. For You are so personal. So intimate, so tender and caring and gentle to walk and abide and dwell and live within us. To lead us, shepherd us, to fill us, to make us full. Can't be no more than full than full. We're full. You are infinite, unsearchable. And it is my longing, my desire to know You, to wait on You, to make You known. I pray that You help us. Fill us up. Do Your work in us. Thank You for Your mercy. Use us this day to fill this world up with Your praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Love y'all. Y'all have a blessed day. Amen.